The scripture reading for today is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. So we continue our study in Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And as we turn, I just want to briefly remind you of the context, what we have seen so far. What happened so far? So far, we have seen the initial stage of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, and that has essentially come to an end. His ministry in Galilee is now essentially over, so all the mighty teachings and the miracles and casting out of the demons, all of that great, amazing stuff that stunned the people have now come to an end in Galilee. And when we look back, sure, there have been some explosive responses from the crowd. They were wowed, stunned by Jesus, but at the end of the day, the crowd, they only want to use Jesus. And his own family thinks Jesus is crazy. And the religious leaders think that Jesus is satanic. And as we have seen last week, even his very hometown people, they think Jesus is nuts. They do not believe. They take offense at him. So, in other words, this great Galilean ministry ends not with this triumphant celebration. How great is he? But it ends on a note of painful rejection. What happened? This is what it comes down to. People just reject Jesus. How embarrassing. What has gone wrong? It almost seems as if this great ministry in Galilee has all but failed. And it is in this very context, a failure, apparent failure, and this rejection that Jesus now is about to send his apostles out on a mission trip. Their first mission trip, after having just seen their master teacher get rejected by his own people. That's the setting. So with that in mind, let's turn to Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And hear what Holy Scripture says. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the word of the Lord. It's a very simple and straightforward story. It's not difficult at all to understand what just happened. They went out, they did this stuff, and that's the story. Not very tough to understand at all. What's difficult, the problem is, what do you do with this? When you try to apply this to ourselves today, that's the difficult part. Are these meant to be universal and permanent principles for every Christian for all time? Or are they not? See, that's the difficult part. How do you figure this out? Is this meant to be for us just as it is? Or is it somehow restricted to the 12 apostles then? Over the years, well-meaning Christians have disagreed and they have made two opposite mistakes from this text. The first one is this. Some people have said, you know, right here, Jesus just spells out for us how to prepare for missions. This is it. So we should travel the same way. Don't bring any supplies or money. Simply go in faith and trust that God will provide every step of the way. Anything less than that is unbelief. It's man's way of thinking. Now, what do you think of that? I mean, I admire their sincerity and their desire to be faithful to the text. But it seems to me that that is not what Jesus really intended in this text. It seems like this was a specific instruction given to these 12 apostles for this specific one-time mission. There's one clue in Luke 22, 35, and 36. Because here, in the same Gospel, Jesus tells his apostles to do almost the opposite. He says to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. So we know even in the Gospels themselves, the apostles didn't always live this way. But the other mistake that people make is this. Okay, therefore then, since this was a specific mission given to the specific group of people, it doesn't apply to me anymore, so why bother with this text? It was something just given to them, not to me. Now that would be another great mistake. Because it's one thing to say, this text doesn't apply to us directly, but it's another thing to say, therefore it applies to us, it doesn't apply to us at all. Because the Word of God says, for example, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching. Anything that is written in the Bible is written for our instruction. We can't say, well, it doesn't apply to us directly. That is to dishonor the text. So, what we need to do is this. We need to avoid both extremes of trying to make this one-to-one exact parallel or making no parallel at all. Instead, what we need to do is we need to see if there's any abiding principles that we can legitimately glean from this text. That's the challenge. So, what we're going to do is this. The rest of our time, we'll first walk through this passage verse by verse to see what's going on. And then, having done that, step back and to observe some abiding principles that we can legitimately glean from this text. Okay, so if you look at the bulletin and follow the outline, it will help you. First, let's observe the text. What happened? Beginning with verse 7, where Jesus gives the apostles a mission. Verse 7 starts out this way, "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two." So at a certain point, there came a time where Jesus says, "All right, you now go and do missions. I'm sending you out on a mission." And this shouldn't surprise us, because from the very beginning of Mark has been hinting at this, right? Chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus called them to be what? Fishers of men. "For now, I'll show you, I'll train you, but I'm calling you to be fishers of men." That's how Jesus began with them. Then 3:14, out of the many disciples that followed Jesus, Jesus appointed the 12 and named them apostles for what? So that they might be with him, to learn him, to be trained by him, and then he might send them out to preach. So that was always there from the very beginning. Chapter 4:11, Jesus said to them, "To you have been given the secret of the kingdom of God, which has not been revealed to others." You see, the whole purpose in calling them from the very beginning was to train them so that they might be with Jesus, to know who Jesus is, what his mission is, and then after a while, to be sent out on a mission. That was the whole point. Jesus is saying, now the time has come. You've been with me long enough. You've seen what I do. Now go do likewise. Jesus gives them this mission. And why did Jesus send them out two by two in pairs? Presumably because for this mutual encouragement and also accountability. But also there must be something like this Old Testament legal requirement of needing two witnesses when you go and bear testimony to the truth. Because in numerous places, for example, Deuteronomy 19:15, it says that evidence is only to be accepted on two or more witnesses. So that's probably why Jesus is sending them out in pairs, two by two. Jesus gives the apostles the mission. Then in the second half of verse 7, Jesus also equips them for ministry, right? Because Jesus says, "And Jesus gave them authority over the unclean spirits." When you read the parallel passage in Luke 9:1, it says that Jesus gave them power and authority. But Mark omits power here, but that's because the word that Mark uses here means power, authority that comes from power. And when you think about it, we need both. People need both. This is very important because if power is the ability to do something, then the authority is the right to do it. You can't just have one without the other. If you only have power but no authority, that would be abuse of power. That would be illegal. But if you have the authority but not the power, then it's useless. You need both. See, the apostles needed both